Today on the Basketball Manitoba podcast, we are in store for one of the best conversations that has been in the podcast. And I'm excited because right now you're wondering, where in the world is Darcy? This is not Darcy. I'm hijacked, and we get an opportunity to get to meet our host, Darcy, but this time as a guest. Darcy Koss has been a part of the basketball community in Manitoba for over 20 years. He was one of the top-ranked high school players representing Glenlawn and Team Manitoba at the 2001 Canada Games. There's a lot about Darcy that so many people don't know, whether it's in basketball or whether it's where basketball has taken him. And getting the chance to speak with him is not only a pleasure for me, but is a privilege for everyone that gets to see this podcast. So without further ado, Darcy, welcome to your own podcast. And I really don't know how this is going to go. You probably have an idea because you recognize the flow of how these things are. But I'm hoping to shake things up just a little bit. Welcome, Darcy.
It's your show. Thank you so much. I'm just going to sit back and let you do your thing, man. You're no stranger. There's a reason why Adam asked you to do it. So I'm going to let you take control.
Okay.
Do your thing.
Darcy, do you watch any other podcasts like Club Shay Shay or Stephen A's World or any other sports podcasts that are out there? Or JJ Redick has Old Man and the Three.
I see clips. I don't watch a lot or listen to a lot of sports podcasts, but I catch clips of them, obviously, because, okay. So, hot takes and stuff.
I don't watch them. I don't watch them, but I know them. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat you like one of those guests right now. Okay.
All right.
I'm not Shannon Sharp, so I don't have like the fancy musical intro and stuff like that. But I just know that we're going to have a good time.
I'm having a good time already, so I trust you.
And where to begin? Darcy, I want to actually begin by seeing if what I know about you is true.
All right.
Let's see. I'm going to give you a little historical background of you. And then I think it's a great way of sharing on who you are. Go back to the things that I've said and pinpoint and correct.
Sounds good.
This might not just be me, but this might be what the Basketball Manitoba thinks about Darcy Koss. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Some things might seem...
Let's hear it, Steven. Let's hear it, man. Don't hold back. I want it all.
So we're gonna rewind time and we're gonna go to late 90s. And Darcy is a pretty talented basketball player, could shoot the ball a little bit. Sometimes didn't really flick his wrist, seemed a little rigid in the wrist movement, but he hit shots. Ben,
I don't know how you remember that, but I never followed through all the way. It always had this like rigid.
Oh, really? Is that what you've heard too?
I remember it. It's 100% true.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But Darcy was also a little bit of an underdog. Like for some reason, like one of those players that always had to make sure he's earning that respect, and so hard work seemed to just be what you felt with Darcy, and then played at Glenlawn, then went on, played at U of M. Now, this could be wrong. I feel like you redshirted a year. I'm not sure, but I feel like you redshirted a year, and then had a really solid career where you played with some pretty talented guys, but you also played at a time at U of M that was, there was drama. U of M was going through I wouldn't say rebuilding because it wasn't rebuilding at that time. No. But it was just I'll let you describe that when it gets to you. But then when you finished, actually I'm going to pause here and I'm going to speak about it in this way. I remember Isaiah Thomas Detroit Pistons, I tell him, Isaiah Thomas, in one of his interviews, or he's on a lot of shows, and he was saying how he's one of the luckiest guys that has ever stepped in the basketball world because he's been a player, he's been a head coach, he's been a GM, an analyst. He's had so many hats in basketball. And when I think about you, you've had so many hats in basketball. So when university finished, there was provincial team coaching, there was college coaching, there was WNBA executive, FIBA basketball playing. And I almost think there was maybe another international something that I'm not sure of. And then it takes us here to hosting this podcast. Your journey is so vast. Fill in the blanks in terms of your journey. What is missed? And tell us a little bit more about how many hats you've worn in this awesome thing called basketball.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to start it off because you kind of walk, ran through everything quickly, and now we can kind of go back and touch on certain points. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I have worn many, many hats along the way. But basketball, yeah, no, basketball was essentially, it was been my life, man, for a long time now. I'm 40, turning 41, and I started playing when I was like 12. And then, yeah, and that's when I really, really started to love it. And then I fully committed to it probably in the 10th grade, where you feel like, oh, this is what I do, right? I'm a basketball player. And then, yeah, like I said, went to Glenlawn, went to play at University of Manitoba. I didn't redshirt a year. I actually played a year. I was a terrible student for that year and had to do the whole sit out thing. And I actually went to Douglas College for a year. So I sat out a year, went to Douglas College.
I knew it. I couldn't figure out where it was in just my memory bank. Hey, just so you know, all of that was from my memory. It's not that I'm stalking you, it's
No,
just
that
from
was
my
very
memory.
impressive. Very, very impressive. But yeah, no, I went to Douglas for a year. So I was a poor student, went to Douglas for a year, became a really good student. I took a year off, then went to Douglas for a year, became a very, very good student, went back to U of M, and then, had the rest of my, I guess, 3 years. I played my first year, didn't really play. But yeah, the journey's been one that I'm super grateful for, because I've been able to travel the world, and started by traveling the country. And just learned so much about the world and myself along the way. So it's been really cool. Now I'm just like, I there's you kind of there's so much to think about. So you're gonna have to ask me some, focus us in a different area, because you just made me just reflect on a bunch of things, and I can't really pinpoint
Yeah, no, that's
any sort
fair.
of thing. There's a lot there, though. There's a lot there.
You know, when I think about all those hats that you've worn and how you put your footstep on many different areas of the game, I start to wonder, I was like, I wonder which area of the game, if he had a chance to kind of go back and do again, he would be like, I want to do that again for sure. A lot of people would automatically think it's playing, you know, like, oh yeah, I go playing, but not all the times, you know, we are enriched in different ways. So in all of those different hats, is there one that you would like, I would like to rewind time, go to the Back to the Future with Marty McFly. And yeah, is there anyone that stands out
So
to
the
you?
question is, do I get to keep my perspectives I have now, or just relive them
Yes.
as I did?
Nope, you get to keep everything you have now.
Well, I mean, that's easy. I would, again, it's obviously the playing one, right? Because it took me a while to, like you said, you work hard for a kid at that age, but you don't really know what working hard is. And that probably took me until like I said, I wasn't a good student. So when I became a good student, I actually also became a good basketball player, because I understood what working hard was. And so
Right.
I think I would go back to that and back into high school. And you mentioned that actually in the intro there. It's like, I think at the time, and I've been pretty, like, I've kind of said this before to people, like, I didn't really think very highly of myself. I remember one time, so I got held back a year because my birthday is December 31st. So my mom's like, we'll just hold you back a year. You'll be
I
the
knew
oldest
that.
instead of the youngest. Yeah. And so I only played 1 year provincial team, and that was the Canada Games year. And that was because they like had the two age groups, right? It was like 19 and under that year. And I tried out for the team, and I remember talking to Isaac Gantz, a great friend of mine. one of my longest closest friends, and he's been with that along with me in the basketball journey from high school. We played in college together at U of M as well. But I remember talking to him on the phone, and he's like, "Yeah," he's like asking about the tryouts, parental team, and I'm like, "Ah, oh, you know, I don't think I'm gonna make it." And he was like, "D, what are you talking about? Of course you're gonna make it." And I was like, "Really?" And this was just to get an idea of like how, you know, I didn't really have a strong belief in myself back then, right? And so to answer your question, I would have went back because I have a very strong belief in myself now. I'm a 40-year-old man. I've been around the world and all that, but and understanding how to work hard, you know, that I think if, you know, if you're gonna ask me if I'm going to go back to anything with that knowledge, it would be back then, right? Because it'd just be like, no, like you're pretty good. And we know this, Stephen, like as coaches in this basketball world, like how much of the game is confidence, right?
Yeah.
It's a huge part of it. Huge part of it, right? There's people who are less talented or don't have as much skills than another person, but they just play with a level of confidence, ferocity. They don't care. And as a result of that, they become very successful. And I was more of the player that like had talent but didn't believe in myself. Right. So I was always like, I never like broke through when, especially in high school. I think in college I kind of like found it, but in high school I definitely didn't have that. And so that would be the time I would actually go back to high school and you know, and I would probably you know, work a little harder and have more confidence because all that said, I was still a top 10 player, made the provincial team, and you know, still had a good high school career. But if we're talking about reliving things, that's what it would have been.
You know, it's so interesting hearing you share that because, again, from an outside person, at that point, I was just getting into coaching and just had that naive love for coaching. The way you describe yourself is so like authentic. Like that literally came through when I think about how I saw you. And now I realize, yeah, like, you know, you really worked hard and yeah, you might not have been on a lot of provincial teams and it your birth date, like that would have played a role. And as you're sharing, I'm like, everything he's saying right now, there is no, like, you're not cutting any corners. Like you're telling raw truth. Because when I think about you as that 15, 16, 17 year old, that's exactly what I'm seeing. So I just want all the people listening, if he's going to speak like this at the beginning, everything else you're going to get is raw truth here.
Hey, that's the only way I speak now, man. It's just honesty, openness. So,
And why is that? What life experiences have led you to that kind of
I
mindset?
just think it's one of those things where, like, if you can be authentic straight away, people. So I guess it's what I appreciate. So what I appreciate is what I try to live. So I would much rather know if somebody doesn't like me than like them pretend and then later on hear that they're like talking trash about you behind your, but they're being nice to you because then it's like, what are we doing? Why did I waste my time talking to you? Like, what's going on? So by being authentic, it just allows for a level of clarity and I think you connect with better people better, right? So, you know, I'm not gonna be fake to somebody, but I'm gonna, if I connect with someone or there's a reason, I'm gonna tell them the truth, right? So I think it's just more authentic and I think I value that very highly.
So you go back to, and because you chose that time period, you go back to that time period. Can you tell us a little bit about, just real quickly, those high school days, like Glenlawn, who was your coach? Who were some of your teammates? Like, give us some names and people watching, some coaches from the past would be like, oh, I remember playing against that kid. And who were some people on your team? Like, I'm probably gonna lose my mind when you start mentioning names because I'll be so excited. So,
So if we go back, like, so I said I started taking it seriously about in the 10th grade, and I went to Jean Sauvé first. In the 9th and 10th grade, that's when I first met Isaac. So Isaac was a phenom, young player. He's about the same size in grade 8 as he is now, as he was in college. He came to Jean Sauvé when I was in the 10th grade, and so I played 9th grade basketball, and I played on the JV team, and I played under Dale Williams. So Dale Williams, shout out to Dale.
Oh,
Yeah,
see, I knew this was
yeah.
gonna happen.
Yeah, so Dale was coaching there, and then when Isaac came, if I remember correctly, Dale actually moved up to varsity because at the time in the 9th grade, that was CGS's like legendary team with the Shin Carricks and like their whole team that did both Jeff and Dan starting at they're both what 6'9". Carl Felix was their point guard. Can't even think who else. But anyways, they won the French championship that year, right? And so they were in that team. And then after their coach moved on, and then Dale moved up. And so when I went to the 10th grade, Isaac came in grade 9, and Dale's like, "Oh, you got to play like varsity, right? Like you're gonna play a lot." And the only
So
reason I
right now
didn't,
you're in
I'm
grade
in grade
10
10 now.
and
Yeah, I'm in
Isaac is
grade.
in grade 10.
He's in grade 9. He's a year younger than me.
Okay.
And so he's playing JV. So I'm like, well, we want to do well. We want to win. I want to score a bunch of points. So I'm gonna stay and play JV again, like one of those things, right? Probably would play bar go play varsity, right? But I stayed and played JV with Isaac, right? Because I'm like, we're gonna have a pretty good team. We were terrible last year when I was playing up. I'm like, this is gonna be great. So that was the start of kind of taking it somewhat seriously. And I don't know if I've actually credited Isaac this directly, but just because we've just been friends, right? Sometimes you forget to credit your friends for
Yeah.
this. But I think he took basketball very seriously. Both his brothers, Mike and Dave, were very involved, and his dad. And so when I started getting around them, I like started to take it more seriously, right? Because they were just so involved. And we had a good year. We lost to Maples, I think in the provincial, I want to say
And who
quarters.
was on that Maples team?
Well, one of your kin. So Kevin was on it. I think Kevin was
Yeah.
on that team. Kevin Yeboah. I want to
Ooh, Josh
say,
Clements.
yeah, Josh Clements was on that team. Kept getting called for a carry on that move that he was way ahead of his time. So he used to do the move where, you're dribbling and then you jump over the guy and like rip it over, and the refs kept
Yeah.
calling. He would get called for a travel like every second play. He was so good at it.
Yeah.
Nowadays he could just do it all the time. Like you can do that. It's a normal move. But back then those were travels, like the Euros and stuff. But
Yeah.
he was really good at that. For some reason I want to say Alden Smalling, so older brother or younger? I don't know. Am I way off here?
No, I'll not Eric. Eric Smalling wouldn't have been on that team because Eric is
No.
older than Alden.
Yes, you're right. You're right. In any case, yeah. So, but yeah, we played that Maples team, lost and all that. But getting back to the Isaac story, Isaac, CJS didn't really have a good program anymore. And Isaac was so serious about basketball. So he's like, I'm going to transfer. D, I'm going to transfer. And he's like, well, so where are you going? He's like, I'm going to go to Glenlawn. He's like, you should come with me, right? Like, they have a program there. They actually have a real program, right? They open the gym. Mike and Dave both went there. So I guess Isaac just was in French school. So he went to Jean Sauvé, where his older brothers, Mike and Dave, were actually playing when I was in grade 9, and even in grade 10. Yeah, I remember watching their games. And so they had just graduated, and then Isaac's like, I'm going to go there, right? Because they actually have a program. Gym's open, nice gym. And so I transferred to Glenlawn and started taking basketball very, very seriously because of Isaac, and his pull saying, come to Glenlawn. And so that was obviously a very good decision, I think, that I made at the time. And I think that's what really set me on the path that I went on. And again, I don't know if I wouldn't have went to Glenlawn. I'm almost positive I wouldn't be
Right.
doing this stuff right now. That was like a very like an inflection point, right? Like, and I remember going to my mom and be like, look, I want to transfer. My mom's French Canadian, right? So, and I speak French, and he's like, no, you got to stay in the French school and all this stuff. And it was a big deal. And I just said, look, like, I want to, I'm pretty good at basketball. She knew that. I want to take it seriously. And so she's like, okay, it's okay. We can go. So
Interesting.
as a result of that, my basketball flourished and my French suffered. So my French is like bad now. So I do have some regrets around that. I always tell people like one of my regrets is like not being fluent in French, because I'm very good at it. I can watch French movies, and like I've
Yeah.
gone back and studied it, and then I don't ever practice it. So, but I mean, you can't have it all, right?
You know, when you talk about Isaac, it's interesting how when we're in the moment, there are people in our lives that we don't necessarily recognize are currently playing a role in our own personal movie,
Big time,
right?
big time.
And so as you share and as you kind of look at yourself, you see that individual playing that role. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like one of my closest friends. I just never thought about that. Like that never just made, like I knew, I remember it, but I never thought about that specific thing. Like if he didn't go to that school and he just went straight to Glenlawn, like I probably would have just stayed at CJS.
And so you go to Glenlawn, you're in now grade 11.
Yep, grade
He's in grade
11.
10.
Yep.
And you play 2 more years. Who's your coach at that time?
So our coach was Manoj Narang, and shout out to him, man. That gym was open all the time. So it was like, we used to go in the morning, like before the season. This is, he'd come and open the gym 7 a.m. every single day. The moments the school started. Like, thankfully, Glenlawn was cool about it. They didn't wait, like, make us wait until volleyball season was over. Come open the gym. We'd work on skills, work on our bodies, work on our athleticism. It was super, super good. And that was in grade 11 and grade 12. And that same year, obviously, Isaac played varsity. And we had a good year. I got injured that year, though. And I think that was the year that I was thinking maybe we played against Eric. Because that would make sense.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
Because I remember he was playing.
Okay.
So yeah, so I mean, Glenlawn, it was a great move because, like I said, it was a program, right? Glenlawn's gym was nice back then. It was one of the newer gyms in the city at the time, and they had the extra shaft court there, and it was just a
True, yeah.
really, really, really nice place to kind of learn and commit to it, right? Like I said, I hadn't been taking it super seriously, and then now it's like, get on the bus every day. Gym's open on Sunday, and so Minaj was Naring was super big for that, and
So
then just like,
you felt like you were now part of something that matched the love. And it's not that CGS didn't have it, but this really started to match what
yes,
you were really going for.
yeah,
Did you ever,
exactly.
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, absolutely, right? Like, I wasn't disappointed when I got there. I was like, oh, I was like, oh, this is what we're doing? Okay, let's go,
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you get to your grade 12 year. How do you do your final curtain call in grade 12?
Oh
What
man,
does that
that's
look like?
every time I see Kevin, Mark McGregor, Alden, these bums.
Oh, at
Shout out to those
University of
guys.
Manitoba.
Yeah, so we make it to the final four. I think we lost by like seven. This is pre-shot clock era, by the way. But I mean, none of us are burning out the clock, but we lose in a tough game in the final four.
Hey,
And
is this sorry to cut you off, is this Matt
yeah.
Rusick
Yeah,
and
so on yeah, so on
Nanush?
my team, yeah. So on my team, essentially the starting lineup was me, Isaac. You just mentioned two of them, Danush, sharpshooter. Matt Rusick, and then Matt Purdy was like our other starter. Yeah, and then we had I'll mention them. They'll never listen to this. I don't even know if they play ball anymore. But Jason Hurst, Josh Logan, Ketan Taylor was like a younger guy on the team. A guy by the name of Quinn Gilchrist was a volleyball player. His older brother was a good volleyball player and a good basketball player as well. I'm trying to think that I think that's kind of like the rotation is. We didn't have a deep rotation. I don't know if I'm missing anybody, but yes, that was the team. That was the team. And yeah, we played Kelvin in the final four and lost. And so that was like the curtain call. But the season was it was an awesome season, right? Like that was like I mentioned the grade 11 year, I was injured, had like some really bad knee issues, like my tendon swelled up and wasn't able to play or push, like, wasn't able to really compete. And then the last year I was healthy the whole year, and it was a nice
Oh, that's
good
awesome.
year, except for the ending. I mean, you lose,
Right.
in high school it's like the worst thing in the world and all this stuff. But no, had a good individual year, good team year, and that's kind of how it all wrapped up. I don't
Yeah.
really remember many of the details, like what tournaments you went to and stuff. I do
Yeah,
remember.
yeah, yeah.
You go to like to the lit, you go to the big ones because we were one of the top teams at the time. So I know
Yeah.
we went to a lot of those tournaments.
I remember watching, and I remember like analyzing teams and players, and I remember thinking, man, Glenlawn's got a 1-2 punch. It's pretty powerful. And then you'd go through all the other teams in high school, and maybe you've relived this many, many times in the past, maybe not. And then you go through the Tech Valk duos and the Kelvin duo and the sister duo, and it was always interesting to see how teams were going to stack up in the end.
For sure, for sure.
But then once high school ends, we take what we get from high school and we move on. Did you see yourself as someone that was definitely going to be recruited, or was that something to you that was like, oh man, it's happening? You
Yeah.
know, because that's really interesting, that time period for athletes.
It really is. Yeah. I actually don't remember much about it. Like, obviously, I went to U of M, so that was Rick Suffield was there at the time. And and he was recruiting me. I don't remember anything else, like, to be honest with you. Like, I don't, my details around that are pretty shaky, but I do remember him recruiting me, and I did commit to them, like, in the year, right? So I was already committed, and that was also the summer, like, that I made the provincial team as well. So it was like that
Got it.
all happened all at once, right? Because I was technically in the under 19, so I played with guys that were playing college already. I made that team. But yeah, no, I got recruited by U of M. I do, I do. The one thing I do remember is this. I remember a few things. So that team had, again, you had mentioned kind of in the intro, the state of U of M at the time. So it was a hodgepodge of players. So Paul Foust in his last year, Clarence
Oh, yes.
Vigilance in his 10th year, but his last year, was on the team. Ryan Dalder, Yassine Barra, Dustin Robson Flat. And then we had out of town guys, that, all like a bunch of guys from BC and stuff like that. But the local
Yeah.
guys, and I just remember, I worked at Mini U. So Mini U is like the big summer program. And I got, hey, stuff just got me the job, right? It's
Yeah.
pretty common there with the players and football players, basketball players get jobs there. And so I would run into stuff all the time in the halls. And anyone who knows stuff, who I hope to interview on this podcast, by the way. So coach, if you're listening, you'll probably remember this. But so run into stuff in the hallways, and I'm just like a young kid. I don't know anything. Like, I have these groups of kids, or I'm on lunch. Like, he would do what Seth does, and like, he's just a great talker. And he
Yeah.
would tell me, and again, the reason why I mentioned Clarence is he'd be like, oh, don't worry about Clarence. He's like, essentially, would promise me starting minutes and stuff like that. Keep in mind, like, I was just the guy that was like telling Isaac, I don't know if I'm going to make the provincial team. And
Yeah,
now this college
exactly.
coach is telling me that I'm going to start. I was like, what? Well, by the way, Glenn Manleg was on that team. They actually won the provincial championship that year.
Yes.
And so, yeah, and he's like, you're going to start and do all this stuff. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? Like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, I don't know what you're thinking. And yeah, so I remember him just like pumping me up like crazy, right? And just, come to find out later on, that's just kind of what his MO was, right? He just always like pump up the young guys. And like, meanwhile, I was just like, anyone who knows, Ryan Dalder, for example, like, say
Yeah.
what you want about his love for the game, he was phenomenally talented, right? And like, he
Yeah.
was like the guy with the ball in his hands. Clarence is still a full adult who was good when he was good. He just had injuries, right? Like, Paul
Yeah.
Foust, like, who am I? What are you talking about, man? Like, I'm not starting. I don't know what you're thinking, right? But
Yeah.
anyways, I do remember that, and I do remember that kind of like that summer was just crazy because it was like provincial team, Mini U, me and the coach. We'd have runs at U of M, obviously coming off the provincial loss. All that was kind of happening at once, and so it was very much a whirlwind. I'm registered at university now, something that I, never really thought I was gonna. It wasn't in the
Okay.
plan, really. I never really had thoughts about doing it. I would have never went to college had it not been for basketball.
Okay.
I mean, I can't say never, but not definitely not after high school. I'll tell you that much.
You wouldn't have, yeah. So that wasn't something that you were, when I say thinking about, it wasn't something that was in your room. Okay.
No, not going to college. Like, maybe playing college basketball, yes, but not like going to college for the sake of the education,
Oh,
And
yeah.
this is probably why I flunked out my first year. It's definitely why, because you go to college and it's like, it's hard. It's different. I mean, it's just different. I don't even know that it's that much harder. It's just different. Like, you're just,
Okay, so
especially at U of M. What's that?
it was difficult. Now, like that, now you're in it, and you expressed at the beginning that there were some, was it academic challenges that made you,
Big time,
okay,
yeah, 100% academic, yeah.
and you heard, we heard you say that Coach Suffield was telling you you were going to play. How did that manifest?
Oh man, like, how did the year go?
Yeah.
Man, so I think we were like 3 and I don't know, 15, 18. Like, we were like terrible team.
Yeah.
And man, oh, I forgot. I have to bring this up. So Arthur A. Lawrence, you remember who that is?
Oh, yes.
From
Oh,
Texas,
yes.
he was on the team that year, and he was 35 years old. He thought he was Michael Jordan. He had the swagger to pretty much be Michael Jordan.
Oh,
So
God.
yeah, so I'll tell a few Arthur stories, people who remember him. This guy was just unbelievable. So he had the high top fade. He would wear the Jordan shoes. He'd have the Jordan tuck. He would tuck his shirt in, like, MJ. He'd wear the
Yeah.
Jordan shorts, but like up proper at his waist, but they were long still. He had the
I love
socks.
it. I love it.
And I remember the first time seeing him in for our first practice. And so he would come early. You know, people are shooting around and just like you're on the court doing whatever. And he went to the sideline and then got into a defensive stance. And he slowly, like almost like you're doing like walking lunges, but in a defensive stance. And he went around the entire court in that defensive stance slowly. Probably took him 5 minutes. I was like, what the hell? This is insane. That's hard. That's very hard. Like he stayed
Very
in the
hard.
stance. I was like, this guy's serious, right? And keep in mind, he's like 6'5", jacked, like, you know, he's palming the ball and doing stuff like that. Like he thought he was MJ. And so he was phenomenal in pickup runs, right? Like he was the guy, get the rebound, one-handed, dribble. He had no left hand. But he would dribble by guys. He'd do the thing where he like throws it by you, like around
Yeah.
you, that he'd just run by you. So athletic. Go by and then like dunk the ball. Like it's that kind of stuff. Just like unbelievable. You're like, what is this? Obviously, that didn't manifest in the games, right? It didn't turn out that way. It'd be like travels because you'd get it, you know, he'd be all pissed off. And I remember this one game. I don't remember what was happening in the game. Again, we were very, very bad, right? And we're in the locker room. Keep in mind who we have, like, you know, Dalder's quiet. Dalder doesn't say much. Paul
Yeah.
Coos, pretty animated guy. Clarence will be quiet if, well, I mean, he talks, but like he's not gonna say something unless he's pissed, right? And then he'll get going.
Yeah.
So we're in the locker room, you know, you're kind of sitting in your locker, everyone's, and I keep in mind, I'm a first year guy, right? And we had like, you know, me, Glenn, there's like two guys from BC, four guys from BC, and then like there were pretty much everyone else I mentioned. And we're
Glenn is
sitting
first
there.
year with you, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So there's three first years. Chris, shout out to Chris Hildebrand, he was from BC, but
Oh,
another
yeah.
first year guy. And so we're sitting there, just like, okay, like, what, you know, waiting for his coach to come in, and everyone's just sitting in their locker, no one's saying a thing, and all of a sudden, all you hear is, "Give me the ball," and look, it's Arthur, and he's like, "Give me the ball,"
Did he
like.
really say it like that, or were there other
Absolute
words?
no
Were there other
one
words in there?
no I don't even remember. I just know he said give me the ball. He may have said F, and it doesn't even really matter. And wow, you want to talk about like throwing gas on a fire. Booth loses his, like, people are like, you know, it just explodes, right? Because I think it's like we're into the year now. This is like the start of the year, and keeping in mind that like he's doing crazy stuff, like on the court he would do the thing where he would like shoot fadeaways, even though he could just like, I can tell you, he's a monster. Just go in, he'd literally just score if he wanted every time. Like turn, like there's a reason why he was here. Super athletic, just like not very bright.
Yeah.
And so obviously they're just like, can you just go to the basket? He's shooting fadeaways, and then so he's like, give me the ball. Big blow up in the locker room is insane. You know, obviously stop walking. Hey, sit down. I just remember that. And so there's, I got a few other stories about him. So we're doing I think it was Wise Guys on Campus is what it was back then. That's like
Oh, yeah.
the bar on campus. And so like it's, you know, it's the opening weekend, the football game,
Yeah.
all that. So, you know, we're gonna go out. So we're all waiting out near the entrance to go in because like we have like special pass to go in. So we're waiting for Arthur, and someone's, you know, always coming, he's coming. So comes up, see someone come around the corner, and it's him. And he is dressed in a full trench coat, suited and booted with an actual like suit on. Like, we're at Wise Guys. Like, this is, you know, I think someone's wearing like some, you know what I mean? Like, this is Manitoba, Wise Guys on campus. And again, it's like partying, but like, no one, he literally has like, he looks good, you know, trench, high cut fade, boom, coming around. And he's just, and we're just like, this was kind of our introduction to him. Obviously, had just seen him doing the slow paces around the thing. He's
Right.
dominating, dunking it. We're like, we're gonna have a good year. This guy's amazing. Keep in mind, like he was, I'm 40. He was 5 years younger than me, and this is, and I was 18, right? Like, and so yeah. So he had some issues. He actually went. Do you remember when Season on the Brink filmed here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
he. So a bunch of the players, like, oh, bunch, everyone's in it. Like, just name the person, they're in it. We were playing basketball. Ogo was actually on the squad. Chris Lucas was on the squad. Becker was one of the coaches. They were actually had roles. And all of them, like Becker had roles and they dubbed him over. Always bug him out about that. So yeah, speaking like it's not good. They used to use the dub voice. Ogo
Yeah.
was in there. Ogo like had like a shot, you know, where they like show him. But Arthur was the only guy who actually got an acting role in it because it was that year. And he was the guy in the wheelchair. So I don't know the story about Indiana, but one of the guys, if you know the movie or the story, where one of the guys gets paralyzed or something, and then he comes back and visits. So Arthur
Yeah.
plays that guy, and he has full speaking roles, and he absolutely killed it. It's unbelievable. You can go watch it. Season on the Brink, and it's Arthur. I've been trying to find this Arthur guy for a while now online, so I'm gonna
Yeah.
hit him up. Anyways, suffice it to say, my first year was a disaster. I flunked out. We went, 2 and whatever we went. I remember one game. Suff, he's like, do you remember Nick Quick?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so Nick Quick and Brandon was loaded, right?
Yes,
And for some
Brandon was the
reason,
train.
Suff's like, you're a defensive stopper. Go guard Nick Quick and pick him up full court. Oh, and keep in mind, like I don't think I played that game. Like, and he's like, hey, you're gonna put the young guy in there. You can keep up with him. Like, I don't think I've ever been like a stopper. Like, and I'm not quick. And I'm like, what are you talking about, right? And I remember just being like blown away about with the speed of the game at that moment. I was just like, this is unbelievable. Because he's quick. Nick Quick was his name, right? Like, just unbelievable first step. And he blew by me a bunch of times. I'm trying to like play catch up. He's just toying with me, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the main things that I remember from that first year.
You know, like there are experiences that really tell us, wait, I might be an athlete, but I'm not
No,
that
not at all.
athlete. Yeah.
Not at all. But
Okay,
yeah, that
so
was my
that's
first
your
year, man. That was
yeah,
first
that was
year.
your first year.
Yeah.
Now, well, then we get to your last year. And
Yeah.
I jumped to your last year because there was like a lot of things that happened in between there, I think, with players coming and then maybe staying. And by your last year, some key guys had graduated. I think Isaac had come back,
Yeah.
has
My
come back.
last
So
2 years, yeah, we played together.
yeah, and so now you have your running mate back. And I remember thinking about the U of M team again, almost like I had seen you play before, and saying, okay, Darcy's that guy that he's under the radar. If you don't respect him, he's gonna hurt you. But he's that guy that really has to work hard. It's his last year. I was so intrigued as to how the team was gonna do. But am I right that you also had a lot of young guys that year?
So
Or was it?
in our last year we had like a blended team, but like our so my either my last 2 years or my last year, I'm not sure. Like, so that was Eric Garcia's first year.
That was Eric Garcia's first year.
So I played with Eric, I think it was maybe even 2 years, but for sure his last year was we played together.
So now your last year, who was your coach your last year?
It was tough. So
It was
Suff
still
was
Seth.
good. Yeah,
Okay.
still Suff. Yeah. So I had Suff the whole time. That's not true. So oddly enough, so weird things. So in
Right.
my third
There
year,
was
so I go to
Becker, wasn't it?
Douglas. So I flunk out of school, take off a year, go to Douglas. I actually hung out around U of M and like learned how to work with, shout out to John Lundgren, who was also he was in the gym. He wasn't on the team, he was just in the gym. And he actually went to go play at Trinity Western. But we became good friends from that, and then he ended up helping coach later on. But he kind of showed me how to work, like really work on my game. So we put a lot of work in. But I went to Douglas, became a good student. Stuff brought me back, and in my third year, this is again, you talked about the turmoil. Oddly enough, my high school coach, Manoj Naring, stuff goes on sabbatical, and then he coaches that year. So Isaac wasn't here; Isaac was gone. But now I had my high school coach come
Yeah.
coach me in my third year after being off. So that was, again, there was a whole, it was very messy because of like the coming and going, whatever. But that was a super unique experience because like he was, very much a mentor to me in high school. And so to have him back, that was really, really cool. Again, the team was chaotic, of course, just because of the nature of coach leaving in the middle of the season and stuff like that, or beginning of the season. But very, very cool. And then yes, fast forward to the last 2 years, Isaac comes back, Suffield comes back. And then we get like kind of like a shout out to a good friend of mine, Brian Crow, who came out from BC. We get some of those guys. Myron Dean was on the team, Eric Garcia. I'm trying to think who was even in that on that squad. Graham Mitchell, who played, Sean Landry. So Sean is from out of town. Clarence Smith was from out of town, out in Alberta, both them. So we had a team about half Manitobans and then like half out of town guys. And yeah, so I think I'm trying to think. Joel Pankowitz, Chris Pereira, shout out Chris Pereira, who's at Garden City now. Pereira was on that team. But yeah, anyway, so the last 2 years were pretty much the same team. Like we kept the same team together, and you know, again, I got to play with Isaac again, which was amazing because you know he and I were the best players on the team, which was very, very strange, and just to kind of go full circle back to you know from high school. And so
Was
we got
John back on that team? Was John on the team at that time?
Lundgren.
Lundgren?
No, he was a coach, so he coached. Yeah, so
Okay.
John coached. So, but yeah, no, sorry. Let me rewind here for a second. John played in my third
That's
year, my
what I
third year.
thought.
Yeah. So so John came back and played in my third year, and that's actually when Brian and Grant came, and then Isaac came back, and then yeah, we kind of built from there. So we had a little mini rebuilding. There was some stability there, a little bit, you know. But the last 2 years, we were one of those teams, and like we were the classic, really good team that couldn't close out games. You know, I remember we were in Regina, and it's the last two games of the first half of the season. I think we won two games, or like 2 in 5 or something, right? And I remember, I forget who was there, one of the players or the coach, and they said, "You guys are literally the best 2 in 5 team in the country," because I think that first half of the year, it was like we played Vic, UBC, and it was like I remember Cyril Indom hit a buzzer beater on us to win, and Vic was one of the best teams. We almost had them, right? It was like we had a few, I think we had two buzzer beaters hit on us in the first half of that year, right? And then we played every team tough. So we were really, really good. Like we had a solid team. It was just a little disorganized and just really used to, we just were lacking some structure. But talent-wise, that wasn't really the issue. So last 2 years, we missed the playoffs both years, but had a winning season, I believe, like over 50% the last year. But we missed the playoffs that year, or we were just under, maybe like, no, I think we were like 9-7 or 7-9. I'm not even sure. But we had a good year, and like all the other years that I had been there in the years before, like U of M hadn't been good. So we at least brought the program back to like respectable. Teams had to scout for us and be like, okay, like we got to shut him down. You know, I remember my second year, because I had a really good fourth year, really, really good fourth year. I think I was, you know, almost 18 points a game, shooting close to 40% from outside. Which I know, sorry, my third year I shot 43% from outside. It was like a record for the team. And then, you know, it gets a little lower because you're shooting more. I was like 38 the next year because you're shooting more, and now they know. And then by the fifth year, it was literally, I had a scouting report on me. It was like, okay, you're going to force him to his right because I used to shoot off my left. And like I was bottled up, right? So it dropped down to 15 and my shooting percentage went down as well. But again, that's more of a testament to like, hey, like you got better. Like, good job. Now you're going to get more of attention. And I was in the scouting report because the players from the other team were like, yeah, like we're
You know, as
going
you
to shut
say
you
that,
down. Yeah,
I was coaching at U of W at that time.
yes.
And so, yes, you were in the scouting report. And it was interesting because now from a coaching standpoint, watching all of these players now move to this point, and that scout was quite clear on how we were going to guard Darcy. Like, that was clear. It wasn't difficult because we knew exactly how we had to try to guard. You know how players are, right? Like, make sure when it comes off a screen, do this and that. But yeah, those battles with U of W.
Yes. I
Maybe real
remember some of those.
briefly, because you would have played against them a decent amount.
Oh yeah, well of course. Like some of the seasons, I remember we played like 4 games plus the Westman, like playing like 6 times a year in some cases. A lot. Yeah, those games were awesome, man. Like playing in the, I always say this. I remember I went up to Crook one time. This is after I'm done playing. I'm like, man, their fan was there, right? I was like, Crook, you know, and as much as I like playing with Isaac, I was like, come on, man. I'm like, and no offense, because I would say this to your face, Ryan Roper. I see him at the gym all the time. Like I could have played a better role than you. I'm sorry. The shots that Irfan got you were just like, come on. I had to grind for my stuff. Me and Isaac were just grinding, right? And I remember telling Crook, I was like, Crook, I'm like, you know, I was just in the gym. I think I was shooting. I don't know what I was doing, but whatever. Maybe tournament or something. This is way after I was done playing. I was like, man, why didn't you ever recruit me? I was right there, you know? And he was like, oh, you know, thought about it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ah, man, I would have loved to play with Irfan. But again, I got to play with Isaac, sorry, you know, but yeah, some of those battles are awesome. Because I say all that just to say that playing in like, you know, the Duckworth Center was, those games were awesome, right? Because people would come out to the games there, and the
Yeah.
U of M UW games that were just great, like packed, like it was both sides, you know, similar to what we see this last year, where it's like at U of
Yeah.
M packed, like it was like that back then. And yeah, it was some of those. I remember like playing there, you felt like, wow, this is big time, you
Yeah.
know, and just the way that the court's laid out, and there's people are right there, like the seats are low, but like, yeah,
Yeah.
you just felt it. And one, I had my best game in that gym. It wasn't against you. I had some decent games against UW, but it was against Acadia. And oddly enough, so it's my highest scoring game. Don't remember if it was 34, 39. I think it was closer to 39 because I had some
We'll
other.
go with 39 today.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, 9 threes. And yeah, we won. We beat Acadia in the Westman Classic. And Acadia went to the final that year, the national final. Lost
Okay.
it. We beat them, right? And for us, that was, we're like, okay, we're going to have a great second half of the year. This was in my last year, right? And so we did have a decent second half of the year. We had some good wins, but we missed the playoffs. But that was a big moment for me where I was like, oh, I'm pretty damn good, man. Like I just dropped 39 of these guys, you know. But the thing is, it's odd, and you know this is like when you don't. There's no scouting report. They're like, I don't know. Like, and I was just pulling. Like, I'm just like I
Yeah.
think that, and this is, you know, I want to say back in the day, but like nowadays, what I'm about to tell you wouldn't seem that crazy. I think I was like 9 for 22 or something from three, which is not even that bad of a percentage. But like, I took 22 threes
Great,
back then.
right.
Yeah, you don't really do that now. I always said this because I remember talking to AJ Bassett years later, who like broke a bunch of records, 3-point shooting records for the team. I'm like, and he was telling me, he's like, oh, like if you played, like I get to shoot as many threes as I want. Like Kermit just
Yep.
says, just shoot them. If you're open, shoot it every time, right? And I already had that mentality, but like again, I'm watching AJ. I'm like, man, if I could have
Yeah,
rebound
the
some of his stuff, yeah, just again, because AJ is a great shooter, right? So
Yeah.
yeah, you coached AJ. You know, AJ. So, but anyways, I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh yeah, so yeah, playing against UW in the Duckworth Center, those rivalries were just awesome because, again, like Winnipeg is such a small community when it comes to basketball, but there's a lot of us, but we're like small and tight, like you know, and
Yeah.
so you know, I remember telling Adam, when the Sea Bears were coming, and we, you know, I kind of knew, you know, before everyone, I'm like, it's gonna be good. We're gonna be big
Yeah.
time. We're gonna be big, and
That's
so I've
true.
gone around the country, and people are like, you know, giving me a pat on the back, like I've done something, but they just know I'm from Winnipeg. Like, man, best franchise in this, in the our first year, we're the best franchise. Most attendees were like, it's unbelievable. And I'm not surprised by it. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that just kind of speaks to like the basketball community, right? Like we're not a super big city. People really care when they're into it. And I felt that when I was playing against U of M at especially at the Duckworth Center, because everyone would come because it's right in the middle of the city.
Well, at UW, shout out to Bill Ledlake. He's to his, your real home team. UW, your real
Yes.
home team,
Oh
right? And
man.
we didn't have that basketball team, and that plug was really good. But you mentioned something that I think the audience might be interested to hear. You talked about Isaac, and you talked about playing against Erfan. You talked about getting Buzzer being hit on by Cyril, which means you mentioned a bunch of really talented players from Winnipeg, from Manitoba, throughout the U sports. If you were to think about your time playing, if all of the players from Manitoba had stayed and let's say all went to U of M, who would that starting lineup be?
You mean like during my era?
You mean your era? So
Yeah,
you can't have guys that played before you or after you.
So the Manitoba guys, yeah. So like if they're playing, that's tough because like obviously our fans, like he's the point guard, like you're giving him the ball without question. It's not even up for debate. Trying to think, like, because like you guys had Dan Shinkaruk, who was, as far as a big man, like,
Yeah.
you know, no, I can't think of anyone else from Manitoba that during my era that was better than him. And we didn't really have a bunch of big guys at that time. We had some good high school hopefuls, but they just never turned out, like Dobiansky. Oh no, you know, he was in my last year, I think, but maybe I'm thinking, you know, he's old, he's younger, much younger than me.
He's younger.
Yeah, I was thinking of somebody else, but who's the guy who went to Garden Valley? Ian Milne.
Ian Millen. Yeah.
Yeah, so he would have been someone, but he had like heart issues, and he went out to
Yes.
play in the States. But anyways, yeah. So I don't know. Like we had a lot of guards. This is tough, man. Like I mean, I almost just want to say, like realistically, outside of Cyril, I'm trying to think if there's anyone at Brandon at the
So
time.
I'll maybe help you out
Yeah,
with
help me out a little bit here. I'm trying to like
Thor
unlock.
fan,
Yes.
Isaac,
Yes.
yourself.
Yes.
Cyril would have played on his kind of nearing the end.
Yep.
That also means Chris Dick was in the mix.
Yes, Chris Dick was at UBC and he came back and gave us a smack as well. I think
Okay.
I think he hit the game winner on us.
I don't think Jared Ogabimi Jackson would have been playing by the no.
No, because I never played against him.
You never
I think
played
it was like
against
the
him.
year after I finished.
Okay. Adam
Yeah.
Hartman at Brandon.
Well, of course, Adam's a beast, man. We battled with him, yeah, big time. Chad Jacobson was on that team as well.
Chad, you say Chad
Jacobson.
Jacobson? Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. So we've named a few.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to give us your starting five, sir.
Okay, so if we're playing today, I'm gonna go with today's basketball, not back when I was playing. So just because it's just like you'll see why in a second. So
Okay.
you guys actually use them as a four. So we would play super small. So I'd play Hartman at the center, right? And he played center, but
Okay.
they had Brandon had bodies, so they would throw athletes, but Hartman
Yeah.
he because he can just operate. And again, we wouldn't, I'm gonna tell you right now, Hart, we'd be all offense. Because I'd play Hartman and I would play, shout out to Matty Opalko. I'd play him at the four like you guys did. Because last year,
Okay.
since he was very, very efficient there. Very, very efficient. Even though he was banged up, but can shoot the ball, play make. So both of our front quarter guys are prime passers, right? Big time. Like you can run offense through them, run them off stuff. And then after that, Irfan and Isaac would probably be in the backcourt together. We would have to get Irfan off the ball a little bit because he was just such a good shooter, even though he's probably the best playmaker. But when you have all those other guys, now you can have Irfan doing back cuts and stuff like that. So it frees him up a whole bunch because he had way too much responsibility on that on the other team, right? And so now he can push in transition, he can run stuff through the high post, set him up for backdoors. He's so slippery and fast, right? Like he's so much stuff. And then that allows Isaac to handle the ball a little bit as well, more so just as a scorer. So I would just initiate him as look like, you know, when Irfan goes out, you're going to let Isaac score, ball screen and stuff like that. And then I don't know, like after that, I want to slide myself in there because I could just stand and shoot and I'll do that. When they'll be open, I'll just keep shooting. It's funny because I was thinking about other guys who, after I was done playing, started having like good careers, is like Peter Lamaro. He obviously played and guarded me when he was young, and then like he kept playing. I'm just trying to think of other guys. Like, I mean, I'd have to throw myself in there if I'm putting Opalko, moving it, bumping him up, because the only other option would be it would be between me and Opalko, playing Opalko at the three. But Opalko was banged up, so he couldn't really play that three. He was kind of like a four. Yeah, I put myself in there. I guess I have to. I mean, I'm sorry if someone's listening to this and there's a huge omission. I apologize. I really do apologize, but
You might get some
sorry,
messages.
sorry, Roper. I'm really trying to think if there's other people. Like, I mean, I would say like being on the team, like guys who would make the team, like Myron would make the team. Myron, shout out to Myron Dean, who
About Reynolds? Would you put Reynolds on the team?
he wasn't playing when I was I mean, oh, he played, but then he didn't even played like half the year and then he like was gone.
Okay. Okay, so you, yeah.
Yeah, but shout
And
out,
what
I gotta
about
say
Chad
this,
Jacobson? You
Chad
didn't
would be
put
on the
Chad.
team, but you just like said starting five, right?
So he wouldn't start Chad.
No, because
Chad
you
would
can't start Chad, Isaac, and I mean you could, but I don't know. Like again, I think I'm still gonna be a better option because I can guard bigger guys. If you have Chad, Isaac, now Isaac has to guard up. Isaac and Irfan can terrorize the backcourt now, right? Like they can,
Right.
and if you just let them loose and they don't have as much offensive responsibility, they could do that. Like you can run some
Okay.
stuff. Whereas Chad wasn't a good defender. Like he just wasn't. And we knew that. We would
Okay.
actually exploit him. But what I was gonna say, shout out to Myron Dean again, probably someone who's not listening to this, but at one point, I don't know if he still is, but he was literally the all-time shot blocking leader in Canada West or U Sport history because the man 1 year, and again, they don't count blocks very well, like you know, the stats are
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
tricky. But literally, and we know this, and the stats, you know, got it. He would literally have some games 5, 6 blocks. Now he had tons of foul trouble, but he literally averaged like 3 blocks a game 1 year. It's like 2 blocks a game. So that was
Yeah.
his one. He had two skills: dunking and blocking
And
shots.
blocking shots.
Yeah. Anyways, enough about you then.
Okay, was Suk? No, Suk was not playing when you were playing.
No, Suk was done. He was done then. Obviously, Ogle wasn't playing. Dalder wasn't
Yeah.
playing. I may play my third year with Dalder. Yeah, I can't really. Again, I'm not thinking. It's tough because you think about people who may have played like 1 year, and then you're like, oh, I don't know. Like you mentioned.
Right.
Oh, so I'm only talking about. Sorry, scratch that. I'm out. Chris Dick's in. Yeah, Chris Dick's in. Chris Dick was a Canvas all conference player that year. So Chris Dick would be in. And then I would come off the bench and we'd have like me and Cyril and the rest of us. But yeah. And then
Okay.
if you're talking about all time, like obviously if you re finished his career, like Eric Garcia would be on that team. Like obviously in his first year he wasn't very good, but by the
Right.
time he was finished, man, he could play. So
Okay, so I'm gonna cause a little fight here. So you would put Isaac in that spot over Cyril.
yeah, I mean, but probably just because he's like my boy, so yes, I would. Cyril's was a really good player. I just think that
They
I don't
were
know,
very
like I mean
similar.
they were very, very similar for sure. I mean, again, Isaac, his I mean the 2 years that he played, even though I think he was the only player to get voted CanWest All-Star on the team that didn't make the playoffs 2 years in a row. He's
Yeah.
good. He was really good, right? So
So you shared a lot about your playing,
yes.
but like all of us in our lives, the playing is such a small amount in terms of our whole lives as
Yeah.
a person involved in basketball. And why did you continue? Like you coached at CMU for a little bit. I'm not sure how many years, but I know that
I
there were
coached there
some
for like
players.
6 years.
Yeah. But I do know that there are a lot of players that really have a lot of respect for you as a coach, as a mentor, and as someone who made an impact in their basketball experience. But before that, how did you get to the point where you're like, I do want to take on that?
Yeah. That's an interesting one. So I'll tell this in a quick version. So after I graduated, I got into education, right? Like the post education program at U of M. And I did a year there, and I was like, this is going to be great. So I had coached a little bit in my last couple of years, I think some junior buys and stuff, and worked at Mini U throughout the years. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a teacher. It's great because I'm going to get to like coach and continue with basketball, right? I mean, I think the amount of teachers that I know, you included, that are basketball people is huge. And like, it's a good road. I love being around kids, working with people. I've done tons of camps by that point. Like this is great. I'll enjoy this. And so I did 1 year of education. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And I dropped out. That's one thing I've found out about myself. That was probably the first time that I really took this step, and I haven't stopped since. Is if I'm not passionate about something, I don't complete it. So the amount of people said, "Just finish it; it'll be good for your future." I was like, "I'm not doing that. I'm just not." And at the time, I questioned whether or not it was a good idea. Now I know that it was, and it's kind of again like talking about being genuine. I talked about the start. I
Yep.
sat there and I just felt sick. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't be that one of those teachers that gets through it and gets hired and I don't want to be here. And I
Right.
know there's people like that in their jobs all the time, but I have a choice. So I'm not going to choose to do this.
Yeah.
And I come to found out that teaching, in the classroom and other things, it's not like coaching basketball. It's not like Mini U or like most people want to be there. They're excited, right? School, it's like, sometimes 64, depending on the class, right? I was like, this is not what I want. You know this. And so you get your passionate people, and I knew I could make change, right? I knew I liked working with people. So what did I do? I had a job at U of M at the time, at the front desk there, at their athletic center. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I just started coaching basketball. Essentially led to me, I don't remember how it started, but I started my own program. And so that started, no, sorry, let me rewind. I started coaching with John Lundgren. Yes. So I coached at Gordon Bell with John. John was at Gordon Bell. And then when he went to Oak Park, I went with him. And then we coached the provincial team together. And that kind of started off me being like, oh, maybe I want to keep doing this. And then I got the call. Someone's like, are you interested in coaching at CMU? And so I started there. And then from there, I started coaching club. I started my own club, Winnipeg Elites, and we had a bunch of teams for a while. I did that. And then I got coached at CMU for 6 years. And so that's how it kind of took place. It was like from me not going into education and being like, well, what am I going to do now? It kind of led me down to go down the basketball route. And all that time, I remember I put on like 3-on-3 tournaments, ran like just the little events like that. And the WNBA job got posted. Actually, at the time, let me rewind, it was actually a program coordinator job. And so I applied for that and I got that job. And Lee Wedlake and Lee Herding, now I guess is her new name, but she was the executive director. And then she got pregnant again, she's stepping away. I applied for that job, I got that job. So then I was the executive director, I was running a club team, and I was a club program, and I was coaching basketball at CMU. So yeah, it was that all happened in in that 6 year span. So I think it was like I did high school, dropped out next year. I coached with John, dropped out the next year. Then John went to Oak Park. I went with him there. We coached the provincial team that year, like going in before he went to Oak Park, I believe. And then he coached with me at CMU for a year. He helped me. I was like, I need your help, you know. And then I was kind of left on my own after that. And I did that for 5 years. And during that time, got the job at at WNBA, became the executive director, started up a club program, and ran 3-on-3 tournaments during that time as well, to fundraise for our program. And I had some really, really great times at CMU. Got to travel. We went out west. Shout out to Russell Wilms, who was the executive director or the athletic director at the time. And he was like, yeah, I want this to be a good program. So like we were going out to trips of playing the college teams out in BC and Alberta. Every year we'd cycle. 1 year we go to BC, 1 year we go to Alberta. So it was a really good experience. Got to coach some really good high school kids and some people that I'm still connected with to this day, who
So
still play basketball as well, which is kind of cool.
what I hear, and this is not to try to flatter you, but it's what I hear, is the word visionary comes in. And I think, and I'll explain why I'm saying that. And like I said, it's not to flatter you, but this is like I said at the beginning, I listened to you, and that's what I heard, and this is what I hear now. Your journey. Kind of, and maybe this is just the type of person you are. I'd like for you to speak to this actually. So it might not be like strict basketball, but it sounds like you're the type of person who obstacles aren't necessarily obstacles. You just like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? And if I'm correct, and I think about your career as just, I don't even know if it's a career, like just your what you've done in life, it's seems to be what's next, what's next, what's next. And if you could just share more on the side of, because I might not be someone who's into basketball, but as I listen to you and as you've shared, we see a person, a guy, and now an adult who is like, what's next? And the idea that, okay, I can do this now. Okay, I'm gonna make this happen now. Where does that come from? And how does that part of who you are, if I'm right in my kind of assessment
Yeah,
there?
you are. I'll just add something. Like one thing that I was thinking about, you asked me, how did I get into what I was doing? I started with the conversation about, I thought I wanted to coach or be a high school teacher, because I really at that point had started to connect with people and found basketball was something that was very special to me. But I kind of found out. So remember I told you I was low confidence before. I did like low belief in myself, right? And through basketball, I was able to find belief in myself and achieve things, right? And work hard and all that stuff. And then like, oh, it works if you work hard and find a level of like value that was like, at least I felt good about myself. And I started coaching because I got that same benefit through coaching other people. So I would always look to people who were underdogs or like needed a push, and I would just like look like so I was drawn to it, and that helped me kind of stay connected to the game, but then also gave me some validation, to be honest with you. I was like, okay, like I didn't really think highly of myself before. I had some really good mentors. I want to do that, and that gave me the value that I felt, and it continued that same feeling, right? I can just work hard at this and help people that same way. And so I think to answer your question about the visionary part, I just think that, yeah, I definitely have an eye to like say, okay, because I haven't thought about this. Like during that same time, I also started the company Stat Trackers, and we did all the high school tournament deals. Yeah. So I started that
This,
company.
like,
We
you
did.
can't tell me I'm wrong. Like, there are people who who maybe put themselves in a box and like, this is what I do, and then I just move in those circles. You're talking about, and
Yeah, I forgot
you're
about
bringing
that.
up a guy who.
Yeah. I forgot about Stat Tracker. Yeah. So we did all the big tournaments. It got pretty big for a while. Like we were like doing all the tournaments. We had the shout out to Tyler Penner. We had the
Tyler
competitive.
Penner.
Yeah, we had the database with all the stats, the year, and we got people are like checking that stuff. People would email us, yeah, this is wrong, and like get upset. I remember statting, you know, when I early on, I would stat the games and we hired a bunch of people. It was really cool. But
Did I ever yell at you?
probably, I don't know. I mean,
No, the answer was supposed to be no.
I don't remember half the
I'm just
stuff.
kidding. I'm just kidding.
I like the cool thing was though is you're right. Like I think I see things like whenever I see there's like a gap, I want to fill the gap. Like, oh, there's a need for that. Can I do it? Okay, let's do it. And again, if it's basketball related, I have a passion for it, right? And so I think that's where you say that visionary thing. I think that's where it definitely applies. It's like I just want to find as many things I can do with basketball and kind of live in that world. Because it's crazy, like then you're coaching, you're doing stat trackers, whatever you're doing. It's like I'm working WNBA, I'm answering emails from parents, but it's basketball, right? It's basketball. And like, later on, I went on to like work for FIBA. Like I got to work for FIBA and like travel the world and like work at events all over the world. And like that, I was working. It was my job. I'm watching basketball events. It was crazy, right? I think you mentioned it. I got to be a coach at the Commonwealth Games, right? Like a head coach, the team
Yeah.
that won a bronze medal, right? So I think all those things, and that all started for me doing the 3x3 thing, which again, which is there was a hole there. No one was doing the sport. It's like three, right? Now it's going to be in the Olympics for the second time. And most recently I got to coach, like I was just coaching a professional team out of Toronto, like Team Toronto. Like I've been traveling nonstop doing that. So yeah, I would say it's, I like to be a little maybe like different. So I kind of search for things that are different. So I definitely sit outside the norm a little bit. Yeah, I guess, I mean, again, I don't know if visionary seems crazy, but the one thing I will say is I don't just get bored, right? I'm like, oh, I gotta try something new. Maybe it's just that. I don't know. Like it
Well,
could be.
when you say where there's a gap, I want to fill that gap.
Yeah.
And that might mean in the community of basketball or maybe in some kind of realm. And that's ironically that probably what led you to the podcast. There's a gap. Like
Yes.
it or not, there's
Yeah.
definitely a pattern. And
Yep.
your presence as a member of the Manitoba basketball community has allowed for so many different things that were exclusive really to you. You talked about Stat Tracker, you talk about Elites, talk about this podcast, even CMU. Like CMU had always been there, but oh, and shout out to Kurt Workington, who was, I think, was he after or before you?
Kurt was before, and then
Yeah, yeah.
he was the athletic director as well at the time.
Yes, he was
Yep.
right. And like all there's just a presence that you have had in the community. And so when you started to interview people. When you were talking just now about coaching provincially in Toronto and Commonwealth Games and all that kind of stuff, I started to see like a connection in the love of the game. And it's sometimes really strange to see somebody or to know someone or talk to somebody with they literally have that same love of the game that you have. It's really weird for me at times. But you got a chance to speak to so many people that shared that love. What, like, can you share maybe a couple lessons or things from some of the people that you interviewed?
I definitely got some good ones, things that have stuck. I think like I'll tell an interesting one. So I got to interview the legend himself. A lot of legends like Wedlake, Colleen, the whole bunch, but specifically this legend, Jerry Hemmings. And
I should have said it out loud because I was like, you're gonna say Jerry Hemmings. You're
yeah.
good.
So I'm excited for the Jerry Hemmings interview. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. Like winner, I'm hoping that he's gonna talk a lot about his recruiting ways, and we know that there's some rumors about those ways. Love
Yeah.
you, Jerry. Love you. But it was interesting because I think the thing that stood out the most, and I always have a common question. I say, what are some of the things that stood out the most or that you remember in your career? And Jerry, someone who's won so much, the thing that stood out for him was one of the bitter losses. And to this day, I think that I forget who it was, Acadia or something, they lost. And he was like, oh, it was devastating. I'm like, it's not one of your many wins, you know? And he was like, no. And that's what he highlighted. And I was very confused because then, you know, it's just like, okay. But then I came to realize, like, you know, some people, you know, they don't remember the wins as much. They focus on the losses, right? And I think, you know, I don't want to go so far as to say I feel sorry for those people, but like I wouldn't want to do that. I'm a remember the wins guy. Let's have a good time, right? But the one thing that I think I heard this, I think I remember Kirby said it, and a lot of people have said this, but it stands out, Kirby's conversation. It's just like, you know, coaching basketball and literally everything in this world is a people thing, right? And if you confuse that or you forget it, right, you've already failed. So like if you understand that, you know, I think so you're someone who understands that. It's like, you know, and on our podcast, we probably talked about this, but like I said, it's a common theme. It's like that's what comes first. And if you remember that, you will have success because you're going to connect with people. And if you connect with them, they're going to follow you, right? If you have a plan, you'll probably have some decent success. And at the end of the day, they'll walk away and they'll have good things to say about you, right? And I think that's probably the number one thing that stands out is like everything we're doing is the game you're playing is a people game. That's a really, really big thing that stood out for me across the board because a lot of people said that. Some people said it
Right.
directly, some people said it indirectly, right? Like some people
Right.
just literally said that. But those are some things that stand out. I mean, there's just so many things, funny stories and stuff like that. The one thing I can say that I know is that I've said this before is our community is very small and we're like tight knit. And so like if you just say people's names, it just all these stories, like you could go
Yeah.
on a whole tangent about this one person. So I think those are some of the things that stand out. And I think maybe that's appropriate that stands out here because the way you kind of came into the conversation, just saying like, you know, you're doing this podcast. At the end of the day, I think we as we get older as well, I hope that this is what people gain. But they understand that like what else matters, right? Like it's not about this, that, or the other. It's just about people, right? And if you master that, like you'll have so much joy in your life. Because it doesn't matter what you're doing, right? If you just people first, you know, the results will
Okay.
come.
I'm gonna just mention names and you
Yeah.
have 5 seconds to give a word that comes to your mind.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Good.
If the word is not really flattering, we'll edit it out.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Kenopoko.
Oh, Kenny, man. Stories for days.
No,
Stories for
one
days.
word. One word. Oh,
Stories.
story for days.
Stories. Stories
Okay.
for days. Yeah.
Okay.
That was my word, yeah.
Bill Wedley.
Dave Matthews Band. That's an inside joke, but he loves it, Dave Matthews Band.
Okay. Randy Sano.
He's not good with technology.
I don't know if you interviewed Sandra Carroll.
No, she's on our list though. I
She
haven't
is
done
on
it.
the list.
She's on the
Okay.
list, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Scott Martin.
He's very blunt. He's very direct. He's blunt.
That's good.
Yeah.
Ogo.
A pleasure.
Have we got Todd McCullough yet?
Yes. And also surprising, surprising, very friendly.
Okay.
Very, very friendly.
Chris Dick.
Haven't done Chris Dick.
Okay.
But if you say him, sharpshooter is what my
Sure.
word would be. Absolutely,
Sure.
sharpshooter.
Sure. Irfan.
Torture. Man, he used to torture us. He didn't do anything. Just let him run freaking high ball screens. It didn't matter. And
With Dwight Brissett, yeah.
hey, just go run a high every time. It didn't matter. Like we're gonna ice him. It didn't matter. He just do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
But
funny.
yeah, his interview, yeah, like I mean, it was torture. Yeah. In my interview with him, I just reminisced how he tortured me like the entire
Yeah.
time, literally.
Ogabimi Jackson.
Man, hard worker. Wow. Hard worker.
Okay.
I almost want to say like, yeah, I don't even want to say overachiever because he hasn't. He's just, man, he's a hard worker.
And is there any other person that came to mind that you interviewed that you have a word that you're like, this person made me think this?
Colleen Dufresne. So for her, just inspirational. And she played, that's just because when I was in my first year, she was the athletic director there. And I was really, she was just door open. Like I was really able to connect with her. So, and I
You know
became
what?
friends
That
with
makes me think of a few other names. What about Marge Kelly?
her. Do we interview Marge Kelly? We did. No, did
Yeah.
we?
I feel
Yes,
like we did.
we did. Terrible memory. She didn't
Yeah,
tell me anything. So I have a terrible memory. I have a terrible memory. That's all she kept saying.
that's funny.
I was like, all right.
That's funny.
I'm trying to think anyone else that yeah, because you mentioned DePalco. He was a great interview. Ogle again, great time. Yeah, I can't, I mean it's there's just so many
Is
people
there
I can't.
someone that you wish that you have a chance to speak to? Like in some ways, and I know I've said this out, it's important that our community kind of archive these things. But you are one of those pivotal people to archive it. What story is not told, or what story needs to be told more of, and therefore what individual might help with
Oh,
that?
that's easy. He was on the, he helped us set up this podcast, Adam Wedlake, because like realistically speaking, you know, I've worked all over this country. I lived in BC for a while and got to connect with Basketball BC and like and the people out. I worked for a club, one of the biggest clubs out there. Again, I've been all over, worked with Canada Basketball, and without a question, we don't understand how spoiled we are. Manitoba does. You're wearing their shirt right now. We're on their podcast. I'll give you just a small example of I was working for this club called VK Basketball, and they put on an event called B-Ball Nationals, big event of in Langley. And we were doing some setup. My job was like I was one of the events guys. I was the head of the events, head of the event. And I'm like, oh, like what do you guys use out here in BC if your score keep your score sheets? And they're like telling me, oh, you can find them. Like, can we just get them on Basketball BC? And they're like, what are you talking about? What? But we're so used to it. Anything we want, we just search, and Adam's uploaded it online, right? Like, everything. Like, you want a score sheet, it's there. Like, just you want a how-to list. Like, if you Google 3x3 how-to, like, Basketball Manitoba is one of the ones in the list somehow. So, anyways, like, Adam Wedlake, this guy's been around for so long. He's done all those things, the Super Coaches Clinic. He's a big time mentor of mine. He's like he will take a meeting with anybody and listen to any crazy idea. I had an office next to him for years, and I would listen. Sometimes I would come running after, what was that about? And the stuff that he listens to, ideas, and just the support more than anything that he's given the community. Like those basketball life displays that you see everyone have, those are his. Like that's you know, it's all him. Like he set them up. He did all that. Like it's obviously MPI, but like he did that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, like there's other people that have been involved and shout out to them, but like he's been there for so long. And so he would be the guy because he just probably has so many stories. And you want to talk about touch points. I mean,
Yeah.
he is the touch point. Like he knows
Right.
everybody.
Right.
Everybody. When the Sea Bears were coming, he was one of the first people in, right? Like
Right.
he was probably the first person. He was, because they went to him and said, hey, like, what's going on, right? So, you know, any event, big basketball event that's come to town, he's been involved in it. Yeah, so again, I've nothing but respect for him. And he's, you know, I'm happy you were there, and I'm happy you asked that question, because he's agreed on the 100th episode that he will be the guest. He's
All
reluctant
right.
because he doesn't like the limelight, and he's just a servant to the game. I know he doesn't want to be on here, but Adam, episode 100, he will be
Okay.
on here and we will get that conversation. So
Well,
shout out to Adam.
people might want him before 100. They might want him
They might,
before
hey, let's
100.
send emails. If you're listening, I want send an email to Adam,
Yes.
Adam at Basketball Manitoba, and tell him, hey, we want to hear you before 100. But it's Adam without question, because There's a whole bunch of people on our list, but I still love, people I'd love to hear their story, but
You're absolutely right about that.
Tim.
And it's like he's a very humble person that makes such a powerful impact, but is 100% fine not knowing the impact that he's made. Yeah,
100%.
on many, many, many lives.
100%.
But
Yeah.
he's yeah, he definitely and that would be interesting. So
Yeah,
that's one that
yeah.
I will watch. I'll watch for sure.
For sure.
Be intrigued to hear the questions that are asked to him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I
Yeah.
know. He's hot. He had to come up with some good ones.
So Darcy, I don't know what the like I've always heard you say this at the end of an interview. Oh, this is the longest interview that we've had and whatnot. How like I don't know if you're looking at a time. How long
I
do you think
am.
you've been?
We're, I think, to in 2 minutes. Well, if we started on time, we'll be at an hour and 25 minutes, I
Yeah.
guess.
Now,
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
how long is long,
Is
but
that what is that right? We started at 3:40 or 2:45.
at
It's almost 4:10 right now.
yeah.
Yeah.
And like I still have some questions I want to ask. So
Well, never
what
mind. We can. Let's go. This is my podcast. Let's keep it rolling, man. Come on now. We can.
basketball has been a vehicle for you. It has
Yeah.
taken you places. So kids can't envision that. Kids just want the ball, the hoop, put it in the hoop. They
Yeah.
want to go play D1 and play this and that. But basketball has been a vehicle for you. This is going to be a big statement. Inspire somebody in the sense that what can you share about how people can look at basketball as a vehicle to take you places?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I can only use myself as my coaching experience and my playing experience, but I'll kind of walk you through it from my perspective. Like as I mentioned, as a player, whether it had been in high school or in college, I got to travel around Canada, right? I remember one time, I'm in Vancouver playing UBC, and I'm with Glenn, and we're in our first year, and I remember. It's late in the year, like November. It's freezing here in Manitoba, but we're in BC, and it was like 50, happened to be 15 degrees that day. And I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. I'm actually from out there as well, and I had played out there, right? So I knew, and I was like, man, I remember turning to him and being like, man, this is really cool. Like, oh, we're just traveling. I said, all we got to do is play basketball and, do good in school, which I didn't. Take care of your school. And this is an amazing life. Like, look where we are, right? It's beautiful. You can see the mountains and stuff. Like, this is amazing, right? And again, like, I have traveled, I was from there, but the fact of the matter is, like, I'm in a university year. Why am I out in BC playing basketball? What am I doing? Like, why is this even happening, right? And so I think I remember just having those moments. And I think the insight I'll pass on to any person who's listening, not just young people, is you really got to lock in and be grateful. The moments you have, far too often it takes something being taken away. And again, I think that's normal human behavior, right? It's the human condition. We take get something gets lost, and then we take it for granted. But you don't have to take something for granted if you just enjoy it while it's there, right? Like, oh man, this is really cool. And I think that's the thing. Like, when it's so nowadays, when players go down, if you're going to some big AAU tournament, like, this is really cool. This is really special what you're doing right now. And I think that's probably the biggest insight. It doesn't really matter. What it is you're doing. It's like enjoy that thing in the moment. One thing that stands out, you asked me earlier about things that people said. So I interviewed one of my good friends, I was in his wedding party, got married last year, Graham Bodner. And Graham is like a local, legend. He's played
Legend.
senior men's, plays in everything, right? He's there, played
Legend.
in so many stuff. And I interviewed him, and he explained to me. He said, look, he's like, I've been living a dream, essentially. He's like, I've been taking this as serious as people in the NBA take it. He's a 1 year, he played 126 games. He played on four teams. He trains, he has his own gym. He retrains every single day, right? And he's like, for me, this is pros, right? This is professional. That's how I approach it. And so that's my experience. He doesn't take it for granted. Like, he's all in. Right. And say it might be crazy. I remember playing with him, but like, we lose a game. I'm like, I don't care. Like, we lost. I'm not happy, but he's not sleeping the next couple of nights. And I'm like, that's pretty crazy, man. But he's like, I care about this. And that's fine. Like, that's the way he deals with it. Right. So I just think making sure you understand what you're doing is special, even if it's not, you want to play Division One, you're playing U Sport, doesn't matter. You want to play at this school, it is whatever you make of it. It's simple as that, right? Because when it comes to quality of life and happiness in life, you have to have that perspective, right? If you don't, then you'll always be like searching for something that's just out of your grasp. And when you get it, you'll never be happy, right? And so I think
Thank you for sharing that.
that's kind of I think maybe what I've learned over time. And maybe I had it back then, and I said that to Glenn when I was 18, but I really understand that concept now. And having traveled all over, like every time that there's the amount of times I've been, I remember we were at the World Cup, so the 3x3 World Cup, because I worked for FIBA, and it was in Manila, and they put the 3x3 courts, just a half court, inside the a Manila arena. They put it in the corner, and I just remember being there, like, and it's Filipino fans, they're insane, right? Like, it's packed, they're going crazy. And I remember stopping for a second and like, I'm working right now. This is insane. This is a job. Why I'm in the Philippines doing it. I'm working. This is crazy, right? But having those moments just allows for everything to be so much sweeter. So just stop, enjoy for a second what you're doing and appreciate it, right? It's instead of just like looking for the next fix, so to speak. So I
It
know I kind
sounds
of went on
like,
a little bit of a tangent there, but yeah.
no, that's exactly what connects, because it sounds like it doesn't really matter where you are, what you're doing, but having the mindset that allows you to appreciate it allows, whether it's basketball or whatever, to help you feel fulfilled.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. I hate saying this phrase, our time is up. I don't want to say that phrase, and I can tell that there is so much more. But our time is up. This is
Well,
so bad that our time is up. It's so bad that our time is up.
this has been great. This has been great.
I paused like that because if we have to edit, I needed there to be a little pause there, because we have to have our time up for, because I have to go pick my child
Yeah,
up.
I figured. I figured. It's all good.
I'm like,
We've been
oh,
cooking
I'm
for a
like,
minute here. We've been going for a
we could
minute.
keep talking. And I'm like, is this part one?
Yeah,
Is
this is
that
gonna
actually
be
what it is, part one? And
a
maybe that's actually warranted, but I'm like, the child's gonna be standing there at the bus stop.
minute.
Like,
Yeah,
it
like
probably should be a father. Like,
where's Dad? Where's Dad? Yeah, I was just doing some
yeah,
podcasts. Don't worry.
because I have so many, like, I want to know why storytelling is important to you. Like, I want to know, like, I just want to know so many other things. Like, this aspect of storytelling is, when kids go to school, they go to school and they go to university, and people are like, oh, what are you going to be? Oh, this doesn't make any money. This doesn't make any money. You got to try and be this. Ah, oh, you can't be in the Faculty of Arts. What is that? What is English? And when I think about storytelling and the aspect of how real knowledge is passed, and stuff that have heart and soul, is in the stories that we tell. It's
100%.
in those times. And hearing you tell stories, and the stories that you've heard, like, I have so much, and I know that we can't do a part two and all that stuff as much as I really want to, but I gotta go pick up a kid.
It's all good, man. It's all good. So, no, I
Had no
enjoyed this.
idea that
I
we would
enjoyed this.
go an hour and 40 some odd minutes. I had no
Yeah. Hey, you're the host, man. Like, so this is your show. I'm just cooking. Like I said, I told him, like, I'm not gonna do anything. Like, whatever Steven
idea.
cuts it off at 30 minutes. Oh, hey, that's what we're doing,
Yeah.
right?
I have
So.
to apologize because there's so much more that we can hear from you, just like every one of your other guests.
Yeah, it's always like that.
Yeah.
Always. I'm
So,
always like looking at the clock, like, oh, like we're going too long all the time. So.
and truthfully, I'm trying to read your vibe. You still got more to say, but
Yeah, I
we want to
appreciate
thank you for making yourself vulnerable and sharing with us about you. Honestly, if anyone watching has heard something, Darcy's the type of guy that would love to talk and share some more stories. So feel free to reach out to him. But
that.
I really hope you enjoyed reminiscing, sharing, educating, and inspiring, because that's what I got from hearing you
I
speak.
appreciate it. I appreciate it,
We
Stephen. And that
appreciate it.
I'm actually surprised that you were able to get some stories out of me, because I always tell myself, I'm like, I got a terrible memory, and all of a sudden all these things just start rushing back.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it worked out, because I was worried. I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna remember it, like what am I gonna
Yeah.
say, like. So I remembered a lot.
Yeah.
So no, I appreciate
Okay.
you taking the time and doing this and coming on the show again, but this time I was the host, so
For
appreciate
sure. Take care. Wherever you find your travels, wherever you are in the world,
it.
take care and keep, I said a visionary. I have this feeling that there's so much more coming your way.
I
So
appreciate
thank
it,
you very
Sam.
much.
All right, you take care.
Take care.